Hey, everybody. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
We're here, and it is a balmy one. So, stay cool.
It's warm here.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm not starting this podcast talking about how tired I am, I'm talking about how hot it is.
Yeah, that's
your general. Those are the two things that I think about the most.
That's your general vibe.
Heat and exhaustion, but never heat exhaustion. Weird. Dory.
Yes, Matt.
I don't see a book portion of the podcast today.
There isn't one.
Oh, this is disappointing.
Yeah,
my mother told me to convey that she really enjoyed your book and read it in a couple days.
Oh,
she texted me and I
forgot to text her back.
You know, we thought that might have happened, and I said I'll tell you, and then I remembered just now. So
thank you for telling me. I will text her back.
This think of this podcast as a text because she hears it.
Oh well, Mary, thank you.
There you go.
It was very thoughtful of you to send me that text. I appreciate it. I'm so glad you read my book and that you enjoyed it.
You know, we talked about things that we might have gotten from each other on the podcast, the Patreon podcast yesterday, and I think right now it seems like the one thing you got from me is forgetting to text my mother back.
That's rubbed off on me.
Such a Matt trait.
Sometimes I will see texts come in on my watch.
Yeah. No, I think that happens a lot.
And I'll be like, oh, yeah. But then they don't show up as unread on my phone.
Right.
So I kind of forget about them.
Yeah. I find that it's easier to miss replying to a text on when you have the watch on.
Yes. Unless the reply is just like a thumbs up.
Right. The emoji reply.
Yeah.
Always
like,
a big
fine,
positive.
But if I actually need to like type out a couple things, but I can't. Like, say the response.
Right, right.
You know.
I always say the text-to-speech is pretty good.
It is pretty good. Yeah. It is pretty good. But sometimes, I don't know.
I tend to text. I use that a lot when driving. It's like, bop-a-da-boop-a-da-boo.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes the typo is so weird that I just send it anyway and then reply after that. Sorry.
Whoa.
I just read that. That's what Siri thinks I said.
Wow.
So... here we are. It's Sunday, of course. We're a week closer to it not being the summer.
Yep.
That's sort of how I'm looking at things right now.
Yep.
Got fired up the Oculus again. It had been a couple of months since I used it.
Yeah, it'd been quite a while.
I was like, man, I wonder how that thing's doing. I need to move. Let me get some movement going.
Mm-hmm,
so pop that on. Popped over to Zombieland, if anyone out there is an Oculus player and has the Zombieland game. I'm still better than you. Probably. I'm still ranked in the top 10 on a lot of the levels. 3, 4 on one or two. The final thing, the big test, the big thing you're playing towards at the end. I think I'm still ranked 3rd on that.
Mm.
That's in the world, everybody, of Oculus players.
I'm impressed.
I played a new level and then I finished it and it said I was ranked 1,339th and I was like, well, this won't do.
Wow.
And then I played it through 3 or 4 more times and was in the top 10 and I was like, okay, that'll do, pig. That's what I said to myself.
That's exciting for you.
Truly. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, I don't know what's happening out there. I ate a salad today. Just trying to be better, everybody. Incremental changes resulting in no change whatsoever.
Hey.
Thumbs up.
So, you know we have a rule in this podcast.
What is that?
No negative self-talk.
No thumbs. Oh, what? That's on this podcast?
Yep.
Oh, I feel like you're thinking of a different
podcast. This is Kate Spencer, right?
Oh. I feel like I'm more of a baritone than Kate is, but okay.
Oh, whoops. No, but I really don't think you should engage in negative self-talk on this podcast.
All right. New rule for Excellent Adventure, apparently.
Yep.
There we go.
I mean, look, you can feel bad about things, but...
I often do.
But I just... it makes me sad when you talk so negatively about yourself.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, look, I'm just opening up the doors, the windows into my soul to see how I feel about myself. And there it is.
I don't mean to like say that you can't express your feelings.
No, I don't. I know you're not saying that. I think. Yes. Anyway. How are your feelings?
My feelings are okay. I have a bunch of work I have to do this week, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, I like to stay busy. Had an idea for I might have had an idea for a new book.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is this in the thing that you were talking about doing prior? The series you were thinking of doing, or is this separate from that?
The series
of books you were going to write.
I was.
Cozy Mysteries.
Oh. Yeah, this is kind of separate. It's in like the mystery genre, but
gotcha. Not cozy.
Not super cozy. Yeah, but all right. Yeah, not super cozy. I just read a very cozy mystery about a group of retirees who solve murders.
I mean, that's right up your alley, right?
Yeah. That seems like it was kind of funny. Because it was like so much in that genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Thursday Murder Club.
Oh, sure. That's cool. Do they get together and just pick up cold cases?
Yeah. But then there's a hot case.
Uh-oh.
Sounds great. Yeah, it's an easy read. I'll put it that way.
Mm.
If someone is looking for a charming, easy, cozy mystery read,
right?
Mystery
read.
Yeah. So, that's what's happening with me, and with young Henry.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, he's talking more.
This is true.
He's imitating a lot more. He's just, you know, he's doing his thing.
He's doing all that Henry kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Saying a lot of uh-ohs and wows and...
Oh, no.
Yep. Oh, no is a big thing. Doesn't matter what is being done. Oh, no, it is. But otherwise, I think he's having a good time.
Yeah.
He's really enjoying himself, you know? He's enjoying being Henry right now.
I showed him a bunch of videos of himself this morning.
Again,
and he was
his favorite thing in the world.
He was captivated.
His favorite thing is him.
Mm-hmm.
He is a big, big fan. Yeah. Otherwise, should we talk about your spreadsheet?
Do we want to talk about that on this podcast?
We talked about it on the Patreon, and then we said we're going to talk about the results of your spreadsheet.
That's right. Why don't you tell everyone about my spreadsheet?
Dory and I have been talking endlessly about potentially, I don't know, someday not renting a house and buying one. So I've been like on this weird kick to like get out of Los Angeles. So I suggested we looked at like what in a price range, like say it was a, you know, whatever. Let's say it was $800,000, which is not the price, but you know what I mean. We'll compare everything. Meaning Los Angeles, Central Coast, Long Beach, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, etc. Austin, Texas was in there, and see what we could get for the same monies everywhere. And then compare and contrast. So Dory took it upon herself to make many cells in the spreadsheet, things varying from, do we have a social circle? Friends, family? What are the schools like? How close is it to Los Angeles regarding flying back if Matt had to direct something on television and had to come back to LA for a week or two? How close is it to family? So we did that. Dory did that. She really busted her butt on it. Put it probably, I mean, I don't even know how many things you put in there. Houses wise.
A lot.
Yeah. And we looked. And we looked. And we looked. And did we arrive at any conclusions? I don't know.
I mean, the conclusion is that LA was the most expensive place.
It was. Like, yeah. There's a place in Brooklyn we could get. I mean, that's how crazy the LA housing market is mm-hmm. right now. So, I don't know if that really taught us anything.
I mean, I think it made us think about, like, where we would, if we were to leave LA, like, where we would feel comfortable living.
Right.
And, like, if we're going to leave LA, like, what has to be, like, so much better about the other place that it would get us to leave Los Angeles? Where, like, I know you really want to leave Los Angeles, but, like, we are, like, settled here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We're settled here, but, you know, owning something here versus, you know, it's hard. It's hard to even wrap
your head around. It seems impossible that we could ever potentially own something here, which is, like, pretty depressing.
Yeah. We'd need wealthy parents, which we don't have.
Yeah. So.
So someday, maybe someone will adopt us. Like a billionaire philanthropist.
No, but it was interesting to, like, compare and contrast.
Oh, wow. Dropped everything.
And think about, like, is it better to live somewhere where we have friends but no family? Or family but, like, not a ton of friends?
Well, I mean,
or...
that's where we are right now. Friends but no family.
I know. What about the weather? Like, you know, there are some places that would be... maybe nice to live in, but, like,
you know, it's interesting to, like, do the weather breakdown today, or rather for yesterday.
Yeah.
It's silly because the whole country is pretty much the same right now.
That's not true. There were some places were, like, in the 70s and rainy, and then some places were, like, in the high 90s and sunny. That's very different.
Okay. Jeez. Sorry.
Look, I'm just saying. There are substantive differences.
Right. Maybe we should just look into buying multiple timeshares.
And then well, that's a good idea.
Every couple of weeks.
That's a great investment.
Thank you. I think it's timeshares, everybody. What they don't tell you about timeshares.
Yep.
Are they the best investment? No. All right. Yeah.
Anyway.
So if you want to give us a home in Los Angeles, let us know. Otherwise, back off.
Whoa.
I'm kidding. All right. So that's yeah. No, nothing substantial in development-wise there. But I will say a lot of good work and good effort put in by Dori Shafrir, the lady. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, honey. Now, I suppose we should tell everybody things about the podcast. You can leave your podcast reviews on Apple Podcasts. That's helpful. 5-star reviews, genuinely very helpful. Do you know somebody going through IVF? Maybe you don't. But when you do, send them our way. Facebook group exists. If you're like, man, these signals aren't going off fast enough for me, get over to the Facebook group. Drop a signal in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can head to facebook.com/group/excellentadventure. You can support the show on the Patreon. With the Patreon, you can go to excellentadventure.com. It'll link you to everything, but patreon.com/excellentadventure. That'll get you to our Patreon. You can support the show and get up to 2 bonus podcasts every single month. We have a Twitter we don't use, @excellentpod. We have an email address, which we do use, DoryandMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com. And you can call and leave a voicemail. At 413-461-BABY.
Yep.
There you go. Now, is this the start of the show?
Yeah.
This one here from Sue?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. We should take a break and be right back.
Let's do it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis. Same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved golfing. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout.
But
all right, I teased it. Sue, Dory, what's Sue have to say?
Well, Matt, perhaps you remember Sue wrote in a week or two ago to say that she had read my book in 16 hours. And you were like, that is not fast at all, considering that, Dory, you read your audiobook in like 8.5 hours. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's a good point. So Sue wrote in to clarify.
Thank God.
That it did not take her 16 hours to read my book.
She read it within 16 hours?
I should have been more precise. I read Thanks for Waiting in 4 hours within 16 hours of the book arriving on my doorstep.
Oh, well, that's a horse of a different color.
I stayed on the trolley past my stop to keep reading.
Oh, a trolley ride.
Yeah.
Where is she trolleying? There used to be a trolley. There is a trolley in downtown Lowell. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Take the trolley.
I don't know where Sue is. She just, in her first email, she just said that she's in an urban condo, but doesn't say where.
Could you possibly be in the neighborhood, make-believe neighborhood, and take the trolley from Mr. Rogers' living room into the... That'd be cool. All right, Sue. I appreciate the clarification, genuinely.
Yes.
And thank you for reading Dory's
book.
Thank
you. All right. I mean, I'm hoping that she's in Boston because there's lots of trolleys in Boston.
Okay.
Okay. So, last week, the vaginismus signal went out.
Yes, it did.
And Anonymous has written in with some thoughts. Hi, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau. I'm writing in response to the vaginismus signal. And I realized if we're finishing that this is pretty long, so I understand if you can't read it all. Well, guess what? We can.
Okay.
This is not a signal anyone wants to have the personal experience to respond to, but here I am. I've experienced vaginismus secondary to a skin condition I have called vulvar lichen planus. Yes, it's as unpleasant as you might imagine a skin condition on your vulva would be. Lichen, I think that's how you pronounce it, L-I-C-H-E-N, planus causes chronic inflammation and pain of the vulvar skin and can cause tears slash cuts, fusing of the skin, and painful intercourse. I developed vaginismus because painful sex from the lichen planus caused tensing, so things were more painful because of the tense slash tight muscles, and it becomes a vicious cycle. Vulvar and vaginal conditions tend to be underdiagnosed because many doctors assume a lot of sexist things, that women are just stressed out, anxious, it's all in our heads, etc. Doctors told me all kinds of incorrect things for years, including that I just had a lot of yeast infections, even though I never tested positive for yeast, and that I just needed to have a drink before sex and learn to relax.
What? That was advice given to you by a medical professional?
Yikes.
Jesus Christ.
I finally found a great book, The V Book by Dr. Elizabeth Stewart, that helped me discover what was really going on. I highly recommend it for anyone with a vulva slash vagina, even if you're not having any issues with it. For folks experiencing pain and difficulty with sex, don't give up. You are your own best advocate. You know your body better than anyone. Don't be afraid to research. Keep asking questions and not give up until you find the medical professionals who help. We love a second opinion, right? To the listener, I want to encourage you that I was able to have a healthy pregnancy and vaginal birth despite this condition. It isn't possible or the best choice for everyone. The best outcome is a healthy baby and healthy mother, whether via vaginal birth or C-section birth. But the listener asked if vaginal birth could be possible with this condition, and the answer is yes. Pelvic floor physical therapy was probably the single most helpful thing I did at that time in my journey with this. So I strongly encourage the listener to follow up on this, as she mentioned. My husband went to PT with me, and we learned how to do various exercises and massages at home to maximize the benefits of the treatment, and it made a huge difference. Another amazing tool she may want to explore is the Millie Dilator. It's an expandable dilator that gently vibrates to help with muscle relaxation and very gradual progresses at the individual's comfort level. And that is at milliforher.com, M-I-L-L-I. forher.com. I hope the listener who sent out the vaginismus signal feels hope and knows that she is not alone. It's not the kind of topic that tends to come up easily and that people are really eager to hear about, but it's out there and it affects many of us. Now that I've shared way too much about my vulva and vagina in a fairly public forum, I'll switch to the Disney portion of the pod.
Whoa.
Specifically the dining Twist. Out portion. I haven't heard you mention the sci-fi dine-in theater, but I could have missed it. Have you eaten there? We went there last year just before everything shut down and found it to be so much fun if you're into the retro theme, of course. Our son has a lot of dietary restrictions and the chef came to our table to check in and specifically share all the things he could do to make the menu work for us. It's really rare we get to eat out with so many choices for our son and in such a fun setting. It was a great experience we would recommend to others.
I've never eaten there.
That's cool.
I mean, I know of it and that's very nice of that chef. I hear Disney's pretty good about food restriction-y kind of things.
Thanks for the podcast that makes going back to work on Monday mornings bearable as I can look forward to brightening my commute. And that is from Anonymous in Maine with 1,700 square feet with me, the hubs, one kiddo, two cats, two bunnies, and lots of fish. And she adds, I've eaten more hot dogs this year than I care to admit as they are an easy high-protein snack late at night when I'm hungry and unmotivated to make complicated slash healthier things. They're always Applegate Farms organic slash grass-fed, which makes me feel marginally better about my somewhat lazy dietary choice.
Applegate Farms will make a mean, you know, chicken and pineapple sausage kind of a thing, but I don't know about these hot dog situations from them.
Have you had them?
Like, yeah, I feel like I have tried them. Yes. I had a quest a while back to see, or not see, but like try to find some sort of hot dog that was acceptable to me and my New England palate out here. And it few and far between. Maybe two? Different brands, but never always in stock. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for listening to my hot dog discussion, everybody.
All right. Well, that is some really helpful vaginismus. Very comprehensive advice.
I don't disagree. I like it. Here's how comprehensive that was. That came with not only a recommendation in book, but also came with a device recommendation. So I would give that email 5 out of 5 stars.
Wow. Yeah, because
okay. It also had a Disney portion in it and a comprehensive hot dog update.
Wow.
I mean, it hit everything that I need, which yeah. is also 1,700 square feet in Maine.
Thank you for this 5 out of 5 star email. Anonymous. Okay. We have another signal to go out.
Yes.
From Lindsay.
Yes.
Hello, Dory and Matt. I wanted to write in for 4 reasons.
Okay.
First, I'm thankful to you both for sharing your story and creating this space. When I think about how I found Excellent and how you are still part of my weekly self-care, I'm overcome with emotion. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Second, since my son was born, I wanted to put out the HELP syndrome signal, and today I'm doing it. That's HELLP. Mm-hmm. I had a traumatic delivery and HELP was the most severe effect. My spouse and I contemplate a second child, but I am worried about the second delivery being as severe and life-threatening as the first. We talked to 2 OBs from the same practice, and they both agreed that my first experience is not indicative of my second. However, one of my greatest fears is having a second scary pregnancy and or delivery and not being here to see my baby/babies grow up. Does anyone have experience with pregnancy after HELP and or living life after the trauma of HELP? I put this question to a few Facebook groups and crickets. Finally, this last question/topic is related to the latter and morphs into its own regarding unused embryos. Thanks for staying with me. I listen intently to all discussions on the pod regarding siblings because this weighs heavily on my mind for pretty much every reason and feeling that has been stated and shared on the pod. I see all of them. 1, we have embryos on ice. We are extremely grateful. And the stress, pressure, and guilt to use all of them is true. 2, I always thought I would have 2 children. 3, I don't know if having another child is worth the risk to my health, but this makes me feel guilty and very sad and then conflicted. Ultimately, I could use some help finding peace with having 1 child by choice and joy with my family being complete. Signal out. Embryo obsession is real. During fertility treatment, we are focused and consumed about banking as many embryos as we can. And if we are lucky enough to have more than 1 healthy embryo, it doesn't surprise me that soon after a miracle baby is born, some of us start obsessing and planning for the rest. I have guilt about not using our embryos and not trying to give our son a sibling. I want to share a piece of advice from my husband that has been the most mentality changing for me. Nobody asked us how many unused embryos we wanted. Couples who have not experienced fertility struggles do not have to procreate until they exhaust their entire pregnancy potential. So why should we? Hugs, Lindsay, with 0 hot dogs this year, living in 2,600 square feet in Denver, Colorado, with a spouse, a 20-month-old science baby, and a mature French bulldog named Eugene.
So I looked it up. It's very rare, HELP syndrome. 20,000 cases, fewer than 20,000 U.S. cases a year.
We have talked about it before. I believe. Yes.
Look, I don't doubt that somebody out there is going to be able to have some sort of camaraderie or helpful information. But I had to look it up to see what the hell HELP stood for. And I can see exactly why she typed the acronym.
So, okay, I just searched our email, and in 2018,
oh my God,
we heard from a listener who had originally reached out to us about, is Beau outside?
Oh, he must be, obviously.
About getting pregnant. Her husband had just been diagnosed with skin cancer. Mm-hmm. Then she followed up and said a few months later and said that they had gotten pregnant, but that she had HELP with her first baby and nearly died. So now that I'm pregnant again, I have to take some extra precautions. One of the things I'm doing is daily injections of Lovenox, a blood thinner. So that could be something to ask your doctor about. Now, I know that another listener who wrote in had HELLP syndrome with two pregnancies and then ended up using a surrogate for her third baby. So there is another listener. I'm looking at this other email. This is from 2017. So we're going back. Someone found a Facebook support group. I don't know if it is still active, but it was called Bravely Facing Pregnancy After HELLP for women who have had preeclampsia with HELLP and are trying to conceive again. Studies have shown that there's an approximately 30% chance of preeclampsia occurring in the next pregnancy.
Huh. It's a pretty decent chance.
Yep. So,
I guess I'll say woof.
There's a few more. So this has come up. I wonder if you've asked in the Excellent Adventure group, because I feel like a bunch of the people who wrote in might be active in the Facebook group as well.
Right.
And might have some thoughts. So, And I like your husband's reframe on the question of the unused embryos as well. So.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to take another short break.
And we will also be right. Did I just hear a thud?
I just knocked the side
off. Oh, I was wondering if like Bo or Henry was out and about. Don't worry. Holly's here. Someone's watching. Don't worry. We're not just like, oh, it must be our kid and our dog out there. All right. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, we're back. We're breezing along here. Hopefully your commute is wrapping up shortly. If anyone's commuting. If anyone's not commuting. Good job.
Yep. All right. Moving on to a different topic. This is from Finley. Dear Dory, I'm a longtime listener of the pod. I just wanted to write to tell you how much I loved your book and also to ask for advice. I devoured Thanks for Waiting in roughly 36 of the most stressful hours of my life when my mom was having major surgery to remove a tumor. Reading about how you took your time to come into your own with such elegant prose made the waiting to hear about my mom infinitely easier, so thank you. Oh, that's so nice. Now, for my question. My sister will be coming from the States, we're in Montreal, later in the week to visit / help out with the recovery, and she will have to leave her 9-month-old behind with dad because neither are Canadian citizens yet. Mm-hmm. My sister and I are dual. So my question is, what can I do to help my sister with the inevitable separation anxiety she will feel during this first ever trip away from baby? I live in a 2-bedroom apartment in Ottawa. No idea the square footage, but I guess probably like 1,500 with a roommate. I've probably eaten like 15 hot dogs this year since I get them every time I go to Costco. Love the show. Keep it going forever. Finley. P.S. My mom's surgery went perfectly with no complications. It'll be a long road to recovery, but her prognosis is good.
Great. That's good news. I wonder how the... Like, she have a quarantine still? Isn't that a thing that's still happening? When you go to Canada from
so,
the States?
Okay, so here's the thing. If you are an immediate family member of a Canadian citizen, you can go to Canada.
Just go. I'm like, peace out. I'm going to Canada.
I'm literally looking at the...
Yeah.
Canada.ca website to be eligible to travel to Canada as a foreign national, you must meet the requirements for one of the following. An immediate family member of a Canadian citizen, person registered under Canada's Indian Act, or permanent resident who is staying in Canada. And you have to be staying in Canada for 15 days or more. You must, so maybe they're not staying for 15 days. Immediate family members staying for less than 15 days must be traveling for a non-discretionary purpose, which probably means like a funeral or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe the sister's not planning on staying for 15 days.
Well, you know what? I think they've already got the travel thing worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think maybe your sister's going to be like, secretly, this is great to be away from this kid.
Yeah. What can you do to help? I would say just like keep her busy.
That's true.
You know, just keep her busy. Like there should be a lot to do. And also like let her be sad if she's sad about it.
Right.
You know, but I would also say like at 9 months, there's no point in like FaceTiming the baby. It's just going to confuse the baby.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, 9 months when their eyes are sort of like, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, even when you had COVID and we tried to have you FaceTime Henry, he was like terrified.
He was very confused by it.
Yeah. He was like, what is happening?
How is Dita in this tiny box?
Yeah. And then
is he coming out?
Then we tried just doing your voice and that was even like worse. He started crying. So...
yeah, I guess I would say, yeah, skip that.
Skip that.
touch base with the husband.
Yeah.
And make sure everything's good. And you know what? The trip will be over sooner than you know.
That's true. That is probably very true.
Was that terrible advice? Was that even advice?
I think it was advice.
All right.
So... all right.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. This is from Jess. Hi, Matt and Dory. You two were discussing asking Henry about going potty versus telling him. My son was a micro preemie, so he sees lots of specialists. Both his occupational therapist and speech therapist have told us that we should tell our son to do something versus asking him, so he doesn't have the option to say no. For example, we're not supposed to say, can you say apple? We're supposed to say, apple, your turn. And we're supposed to say, point to the horse, instead of, can you point to the horse? For the record, it's really difficult. Just wanted to write in and say Dory is right, as usual. Winky face.
Winky face, winky face.
Jess, in 2,000 square feet in Minnesota with husband, dog, one science toddler, and another science baby on the way. We eat a lot of hot dogs / brats, but the best I've had this year was a quarter pound beef hot dog from Hormel. They used to be the dome dog at Vikings and Twins games until the Metrodome was torn down.
Ah, yes.
You know, before Henry's nap today, I said, okay, it's time to sit on the potty. And he like trotted into the bathroom.
That's inaccurate. He bounced around his bedroom with poop hanging out. Ping ponged. He was excited.
He was excited, but
to go to the potty.
The only reason he was doing that was because I had to wipe his poop off because I didn't realize that he had pooped.
I told you, and you said, he had a big poop this morning. I was like, well, and then boom, poop.
Yep, you were right.
Yesterday, he did not poop. So I was like.
Which is like almost never happened in his young life.
Yeah, I would say like maybe twice.
Once or twice.
So I think I was like, oh, he's saving it up. He's going to be a poop machine tomorrow. And so far, he's been a poop machine.
Yeah, he woke up. He had a huge poop when I got him this morning that seemed very fresh. So I don't think he was like lying in poop for hours. And then he pooped before his nap.
Welcome to Poop Talk.
The point being that I told him he was going to go sit on the potty and he did not argue with me or say meow.
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 Meow. TV. Yeah.
I mean, nothing came out when he sat on the potty, but he sat on it.
Look, it's the act of getting used to this, you know?
He farted on it.
That's good.
And seemed, like, excited by that.
That is, I mean, it probably made a very funny, echoey sound. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Jess, thank you for seeing me, validating my opinions.
Thank you for validating Dory. Yeah. Anyone else would like to validate Dory, please write into the podcast at dorychaffrier.net/podcasts.
All right. This is from Lucy. Don't knock the Chicago dog. Have you ever had one? On paper, it looks like a crazy assortment of toppings, but in real life, it's absolutely amazing. I'd been traveling to Chicago several times a year for a few years before I finally tried one, and it was life-changing. Now I make it a point to have one on most of my Chicago trips. If you're a New Englander in the Michigan-adjacent Midwest and looking for a good hot dog, my favorite is Kogel's Natural Casing Dogs. And it's just not a trip to Michigan until you see a Serve the Curve billboard. If you're lucky, you might even find some top-sliced buns at, I don't know how to say this supermarket name.
What do you mean, Kroger?
No.
Meijer?
Meijer. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you know how to spell things in the Norwegian fashion?
No,
like,
I don't.
Like Thor's hammer being Mjolnir. That's okay. The only reason I can spell it.
So at Meijer or maybe Kroger. In thanks for waiting news, I requested it through my library, and today the hold request is pending. I should have it soon. I'm so excited. Lucy, living in 2,100 square feet in Indiana with one boyfriend and now 5 cats.
Uh-oh.
A kitten turned up under our porch all alone a few weeks ago. Up to 10 or 12 hot dogs for the year. At least 4 of those Chicago dogs and the rest Kogels.
I bet it was no accident. I bet your cats have been like meowing out the window being like, come on in. There's already 4 of us.
Oh, like they invited
meow,
them
meow. These suckers. Their lives revolve around us. Meow. Come on in, meow meow. That's what they do.
That's how cats talk?
Yes, that's exactly.
Wow.
100% how cats talk.
I didn't realize that.
Dory.
Yes, Matt.
We are nearing the end here.
We are. It's true.
And the fact that in as much as we've read the last email.
Yep.
If anyone else has to email us, please, you know, don't shy away. It could be about anything you'd like. Obviously, we're in the Disney portion of the show, and there are no Disney emails to discuss, which I would say is disappointing.
It's true.
I mean, we got to go all the way back to the beginning of the pod to talk about Anonymous's 5-star email.
Yeah.
Before we achieve anything close to a great resolution to this podcast.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like I can't close the loop. You know, the podcast loop. I feel like the loop is open until we end with Disney.
Well,
what is new here? Mask mandates. They got to wear a mask again at Disney.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We all kind of figured that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ratatouille is going to open in October. Dory and I have written that. We wrote it in Paris.
Oh, that's right.
So it's like, we're not in a rush. Although it'd be nice to understand more than 30% of the dialogue.
Way.
What else is happening out there? I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
That's where we're at, everybody.
So
remember, if you want a longer podcast, email us. Yep. You'll get one.
Matt and Dory at Gmail or Dory and Matt at Gmail.
Or call us.
Call us 413-461-BABY.
That's really all we have to say. So I hope you have arrived at your destination. Or I hope the dishes are done. Thanks for podcasting while you did stuff.
Well, let's thank our Patreon supporters too.
Let's do that because they're the best and they get to listen to even more of us. You can support us on Patreon. Get 2 bonus episodes a month. Patreon.com/excellentadventure. And we thank everybody at the $5 level or above every month. Carolyn Land, thank you.
Jennifer H.S.
Andy James.
Tyler Rosewood.
Abba N.
Alan L.
Alec Meredith Fletcher and Florence Babel.
Alessandra Ragusa.
Alex Bell.
Alex Liu.
Amanda Fujita.
Amanda Lady.
Amy.
Anne Flucker.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 anonymous people.
April Whole Werda.
Ariana Perry.
Ashley Sissel Lee.
Aurora and Zelda.
Becca Foster.
Bianca Loria.
Bradley Johnson.
Britt S. Baker.
Bruno Macias.
CJ.
Carly Moore.
Carolyn N.
Kathy Hill.
Chinami Worth.
Christina Smith.
Cynthia Meisner.
Debbie Meredith, a.k.a. Lex Conant's mom.
Diana.
Diana Robinson.
Diana M. Martin, star of the show.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Edwina Goodingham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elena Paling.
Elizabeth Gerardo.
And Emily F. Thank you all so very, very much.
We appreciate you.
We appreciate you more than you can know. And as a result, we can now say good night, or good afternoon, or good morning. So long.
Bye, everyone.